A new investigation by Reuters concludes that not only is the U.S. doing a bad job tracking deaths related to superbugs, considered by the CDC to be one of the greatest public health threats in the country, in some cases, hospitals are downplaying the threat of these drug-resistant infections, for instance, not testing patients to get around reporting rules. And that's in states that have reporting rules. Not all do. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimate 23,000 people die of antibiotic-resistant infections every year. But the Reuters reporters say CDC officials use words like ballpark figure and jerry-rig because they just don't know. We asked the CDC for comment. They said the article unfairly implied nothing was being done when last year a task force instituted 15 years ago launched a national action plan to combat antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Let's dig in. Two of the Reuters writers join us. Ryan McNeil is a data journalist at Reuters. Welcome, Ryan.
Hi.
And we also welcome Deb Nelson, an associate professor of journalism at the University of Maryland and a freelance reporter for Reuters. Deb, how did this reporting begin for you?
Actually, it was a proposal by John Blanton, our editor, who took a hiatus from journalism for a few years to become a nurse and worked in an intensive care unit. There, he encountered antibiotic-resistant infections at a level that shocked him. And so when he came back into journalism, he proposed the story because he thought it was something the public needed to know about.
You start with Josiah Cooper Pope, an infant born prematurely. What happened in the intensive care unit that he was in?
He was sent to a neonatal intensive care unit at Chippenham Hospital in Virginia, and he was doing fine. But about a week and a half after birth, he suddenly stopped eating, developed a fever, swelled up to twice his size. And his mother was called to come in immediately and was warned by the nurses to prepare for the worst, that he had contracted an infection. And so she held him for the first and last time as he died, as he took his last breath. But it turns out that what we found when we looked in the records is that he was the fourth baby to contract that infection. And there would be 12 who came down with MRSA infections in that one unit. But the hospital wouldn't report it to public health authorities until nearly every baby had contracted an infection, in violation of state laws.
Well, so there's a lot that you said there. There are state laws, not in every state, but in this state, which was Virginia. And this mother soon saw that not only was her child now gone, as he had just arrived, but there was no mention of the MRSA infection that she believes killed him on his death certificate.
As we started peeling the onion of this case, the lack of accountability at every level was striking. First of all, the MRSA infection wasn't documented on his death certificate. Second, the hospital wasn't identified by public health authorities because under the law, the location of outbreaks is kept a secret. And the hospital never paid any penalty for failing to report the infections. And in this case, bringing in public health authorities early on could have made a big difference because when they did finally come in, they found that the staff wasn't trained in dealing with these infections. Equipment wasn't being cleaned properly.
Well, so now how is it that a hospital doesn't have to report this, that it's kept secret once it's known? I mean, what's the thinking there?
Well, what we heard over and again is that public health officials are afraid that if they're too hard on hospitals, that they won't report these infections. But what we saw is that they're not reporting them anyway. There is no carrot and there's no stick.
Ryan, you do the data crunching and the number crunching for us. You know, how many cases do we think there might be outside of the ones that are guessed at, it sounds like, in your reporting? Give us some numbers here.
Well, so one of the things that we did was we spent months surveying all 50 states, talking to public health officials, and we asked, do the infections have to be reported? And then we also asked how many states track deaths from these infections. And what we found was only 24 states in the District of Columbia count even just one of those deaths from one of those infections.
Right. As we said, not all hospitals are connecting deaths to infections. They're attributing it to other things. So it may not even get to the death certificate. But of those that do, it's 24 states. States who collect that?
Well, there's a couple of different things. When we talk about states that are tallying deaths, we're talking about through their surveillance operations. You know, something happens, the hospital reports it. In some cases, there's an investigation. They try and figure out how many of the deaths can be directly attributed to the infection. But then we went to the CDC, their vital statistics department, and worked with them to look at what doctors actually write. You know, there's lines on the death certificate where they write the conditions that contributed or caused the person's death. And what we found was that the death certificate showed clinicians had said in 180,000 deaths between 2003 and 2014, antibiotic-resistant infections had caused or contributed to someone's death.
Well, that's when doctors write the real cause. We'll pick that up. That's Ryan McNeil, the data journalist on a Reuters report on tracking superbugs in hospital deaths. We're also speaking with reporter Deb Nelson. It's Here and Now. Deb Nelson, let's bring you back in. As you said, hospitals often don't note when deaths are caused by infections. So you have Joshua Nahum. He was said on his birth certificate and by the hospital to have died from complications related to a skydiving accident, but he caught a superbug in the hospital and his family believes that's how he died. A 3-year-old, Emma Grace, who was said to have died from complications of the flu, but it was a superbug ultimately that killed her. You have loved ones stepping forward and being the ones to point out the discrepancy.
And that is one of the things that I was perhaps most surprised at, how painful it was for those left behind to see that the infection wasn't registered on the death certificate. It was as if the killer got away. One of the most fundamental functions of the public health system is to count deaths, to keep track of who's dying from what cause and where and in what numbers. You know, there's a lot of reasons for this. You need to know how many people are dying where to identify and respond to lethal threats. Yet we're not doing that for antibiotic-resistant infections, and it's been 15 years since a federal task force declared them to be one of the gravest health threats facing the nation and something that needed urgent attention. And that's what our story really was about. It was documenting the many ways that they're not being counted, and one way is that they're left off death certificates. But even when they're put on death certificates, they're still not counted because, first of all, states aren't keeping track of them, but also in our nation's vital statistics, there is no code for antibiotic-resistant infections. So there are 8,000 official causes of death. Not one of them is antibiotic-resistant infections. And that's why to identify how many people were dying of them, we had to do a special search of the text written on death certificates.
Well, that just sounds crazy that there's no code that somebody can punch in. But there's also seems to be a vicious circle here because you were hearing from people that there's not enough money to track this and go to hospitals to train people, to train doctors. Well, money doesn't get allocated if a problem isn't shown by the tracking of the problem. So it seems like a vicious cycle.
And there's no doubt that has really held back the fight to keep these superbugs from spreading. And we count deaths for all sorts of other major public health threats, HIV, TB, hepatitis C, and those diseases don't kill nearly as many people as antibiotic-resistant infections.
If I can add, it comes down to if you were to ask somebody either at the state or the federal level, how many people have died of one of these infections in, say, California or Kansas? Nobody knows. Nobody really knows.
The point that we made in the story is that they use the word jerry-rigged. The CDC, as one of them said, these are the things that keep us up at night and that we feel the public needs to know about, and it's the best we could do.
Well, but to that point, because the CDC says in the note that they've sent us that your article comes across as sounding as if they don't care. And Kevin Griffiths, who's the Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs, writes, this might be a big deal if this administration was downplaying this threat. It's not. It's been sounding the alarm. They do care.
Anybody who reads the story would not come away feeling as if the CDC doesn't care. However, there has been, even by this administration, not been great attention given to bolstering the surveillance system. Now, in fairness, a significant number of dollars is going to the states to improve surveillance, but it's really not nearly enough.
Well, and it may not be that people don't care, but some of them in your story come across as perhaps not understanding. We started off talking about little Josiah Cooper Pope, who lived 17 days. He was the fourth newborn in the neonatal unit to catch the same infection. And the doctor who signed Josiah's death certificate, you quote as saying, things like this, if dealt with appropriately, are best kept internally. I don't think people want to see how the sausage is made.
And that's an attitude we encountered over and again, both in hospitals, state public health departments, and even to some degree on the federal level. There's been a lot of resistance over the years to public reporting of hospital infections. There's been a lot of progress made, in part by the works of activists and by consumer union in getting laws passed on the state level and finally the federal level that require public reporting of infections. But the public reporting of antibiotic-resistant infections lags behind.
That's Deb Nelson, Associate Professor of Journalism at the University of Maryland and a freelance reporter on a Reuters investigation into the reporting of drug-resistant infections in the U.S. Ryan McNeil was data journalist on the project. Ryan, Deb, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.